After 8:30 this morning, taking your calls on the open line number 1353 53, and we've got a prize pack for the best caller this morning after 8:30. So make sure you're part of the program. You can send us an SMS as well, 0419 767 272. Also on the text line this morning, someone asking how Clarkey, as in Michael Clark's horse, went on the weekend. It was in race 4 in Sydney and actually ran second pretty wild. It's ran a good race as well. And so this horse has now had two starts for a win in a midweek and a second in town on a Saturday. So there you go, Michael Clark. He's probably one of the luckiest owners in horse racing. Matt Burke's with me this morning. Have you ever owned a racehorse?
Yeah, thanks for ringing up the memories of that, Ryan. It must have been about 2002, so a long, long time ago now, and we're about to go to South Africa for the Wallabies to play, and my wife had some forms on the table. It was to basically get into a horse, and my brother-in-law, well, Kate's brother-in-law, basically said, you know, he's a salesman. He said, hey, wouldn't it be great? Yeah, we'll do this. We'll go to, you know, we'll go to Ramick. We'll be in the members. We'll get in the birdcage, blah, blah, blah. And I said to Kate, look, no, I'm probably not the right time, not interested in it, not just yet. And I came home, the papers were signed, so I ended up getting I was in a share of a horse. I was like 1/10 of a 1/10 or something. But all I did was write checks. Oh, that was it. Never saw it in the flesh. I saw it through some grainy old video that ran in, I don't know where, and it was. And I was trying to work out which it was actually our horse. And after about four operations, you know, going down to Adelaide to get an arthroscope, this, that, and the other, I went, maybe it's time to get out of this horse now. So I didn't have the pleasant experience, unfortunately. So
your experience is a common one, though.
A common one.
What we want, though, is the Michael Clark effect.
That's
what we want.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, of course, the news and chatter from State of Origin 2 just won't quieten, with some big ins and outs likely for round 16 of the NRL this weekend. And New South Wales fans are still basking in what was a magnificent performance, 44 points to 12 on Sunday evening. And to talk all about it, Danny Weidler from Channel 9 joins us this morning. Good morning, Danny.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I'm just back from Perth. I spent the week there with the team, watched every training session, watched the game, and I can't say I was overly surprised at the result. I think that there was a real determination in that New South Wales team from the moment of their first session right until full time. I think the score did flatter New South Wales a little bit. I don't think they should be getting carried away with the victory by any stretch. I think that until half time, until the sin binning, that Queensland were very much in the game. But from that point on, the game changed in a big way. So I think that, yeah, while it was a really fantastic effort by the Blues, I think we have to be a little bit wary about celebrating too hard.
Let's talk about the coaching of Freddie Fittler. And I know when the team spoke to you, Danny, over there in Perth, you did have a legitimate question mark over both teams' preparations and how it would all unfold, with Freddie getting over there a little bit early and seemingly having a lot of time out there on the training field with some intense sessions, whereas Queensland only arriving on the Thursday. And I guess the result maybe vindicates Freddie in that regard. But I guess his wholesale changes, making seven, and that preparation seemed to be a masterstroke.
Well, Ryan, look, there was a lot of people really putting the boot into Brad Fittler after game one and into Greg Alexander as well. But they held their nerve. They did what they felt was right. They wanted the team to get over there early. They wanted to make those changes. And I think that on the changes front, I think it worked. I think it really worked. They probably got it a little bit wrong in the first game. I think that Brad Fittler's always picked with a bit of daring and a bit of form in mind, and maybe he didn't follow that same philosophy for the first time he picked a team. Maybe it was a little bit safe. This was a less safe team in a lot of ways. And I think it really worked. And in terms of getting over there, look, I know it sounds really dumb and it's only a two-hour time difference, but I do think that it takes a little bit of time to get used to that. And sometimes those smaller time differences can really, really muck you around. And Queensland decided to come over late on Thursday. And I think that New South Wales were having the a full week in Perth, really going through some really tough sessions. They put a lot of work in a short space of time, and they did good work too. I mean, Paul McGregor deserves credit as well for what he was doing. Someone else who, you know, people like to stick the boot into. He did a lot of the work with the Blues and the practical work, and Freddie oversaw it all, and it worked really well. And I mean, for those people who want to bag Freddie and say he can't coach and all this sort of thing, he's got a reasonably good State of Origin record, one that a lot of people would be pretty proud of. And I think that he deserves enormous credit for getting New South Wales to 1-1. The next challenge is huge, though.
The next challenge is massive, Danny. He has options, though, as well. And we've been talking this morning about the return of Latrell Mitchell. Does he make way for him in the 17?
Yeah. It's a great question, Berkey.
Yeah.
I do think that, look, you put your coach's hat on and you think, okay, let's see how they all pull up after this week. But you've got to see Latrell play and see how fit he is. He looks fit. And just see how he goes. But it's hard to ignore a player of Latrell Mitchell's ability, isn't it? I mean, I don't know if you recall last year's series, but he bullied Queensland into defeat. The way that he absolutely put his physical presence on the game, not just through his natural ability, but through his attitude, was something to behold. Like, that was a really strong mental display. And whether Latrell's in the physical shape to be able to produce that again, well, I guess we're going to know in the next few days and see how he goes this weekend. And I think he's right in the frame. I think he's, you know, right in the frame for selection. And it's hard to change a winning team, but probably Stephen Crichton getting beaten by Kalyn Ponga, that didn't help his chances a lot. So if there's someone who's probably vulnerable, it might be him. And you've also got Jack Whiten to get it back in there somewhere. So, I do think that Matt Burton deserves to keep his spot. And I think that, you know, his kicking game adds something to New South Wales that the other team, that Queensland, don't really have. And I really think that Latrell is definitely on Brad Fittler's mind.
So if we hypothesise and say that even an 80% fit Latrell Mitchell will be there and Jack Whiten must come back in, I guess the squeeze, you mentioned Stephen Crichton, he may be the collateral damage, but then there's also one spot on the bench. Does maybe Talakai come out in that equation?
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because he added a good punch as well when he came on. He didn't play a huge role, but he added punch and he brings danger. So, yeah, I think you're looking at, I mean, I don't have inside knowledge on who is most vulnerable, but from an outsider, from someone who, you know, just watches the game and reports on the game, they're two obvious guys who you probably think would have some concerns about. But you know, Freddie might just say, stuff you all, I'm sticking solid and I'm doing it my way. And he's entitled to do that as well. And I think you want more than an 80% fit Latrell, though. I think to go into Origin, you saw how brutal those first two games were. I think you need him right up like 95 or 98 or whatever. You know what I mean? You need him close to absolute supreme fitness and confidence as well. Because coming back from a serious hamstring injury is not easy. And that requires a lot of mental strength as well to get back from that, and as well as to be able to trust your body and be able to stretch out when you need to stretch out and be able to, I don't know if he's going to do any sort of kicking at all. I wouldn't think so, but, you know, you just need to be able to trust everything you're doing. And that's, Freddie's going to have to watch that game really carefully.
You don't want to be vulnerable going into Origin. That's exactly right. Danny, a great acknowledgement for one of your colleagues, Ray Warren, the media centre is going to be named after him at the SFS for the enormous work. Must be a proud moment.
Yeah, look, everybody loves Rabs. And the memories that he's given us all as sports fans are fantastic. And he's respected throughout the media. And it's fitting that he will get that honour. And he deserves other honours as well, Rabs. I mean, like, whilst he hasn't officially retired and he's still going to be doing voiceover work with the Nine Network, You know, we're not going to hear him call games again. And, I mean, you blokes would both have huge memories of Rabs and know him well. And
that's it.
Would love everything that he did. And, yeah, it's a great honour for someone who achieved a lot in the sporting media.
At the West Tigers, there's a lot of interesting things happening there. They've really been in the news cycle constantly throughout this season, haven't they, Danny? Looks as though they have missed out on Cameron Ciraldo. And I guess now the focus turns on Noddy, Brett Camorley, and whether he maybe could be, you know, the right fit for a role there.
Gents, yeah, look, first of all, the Ciraldo situation, how embarrassing. I mean, this is a club who got rid of Michael Maguire, paid him, have to pay him out a considerable amount of money, and they publicly state that their number one target is Cameron Ciraldo, because he's the man who's going to be great for the club, and he's the development coach, and all this sort of hoo-ha, and gets their fans excited, thinking that they're going to get him, and they miss him.
Yeah.
I mean,
so, Danny, where does Tim Sheens fit into that?
Well, I think it's beyond Tim Sheens. This has been going on for a long time with the Tigers, right? These sort of decisions and getting rid of coaches. And yes, this one probably falls on Tim Sheens in terms of, that he's now the big dog and he's the head guy there. But this has been going on for too long with the Tigers. And it's too disappointing for their fans. I mean, to have coaches either walk out, be sacked, on a regular basis, whilst making questionable signings for a long period of time, I think that yes, Michael Maguire, he might have run his race at the Tigers, but I think there's some other people at that club now who have run their race as well, particularly after missing Ciraldo. Sheens, yes, this puts him under pressure, no doubt it puts him under pressure, and he's got to come up with a reasonable coach for the club. But I think the people who have been there for a long time, CEOs, to say that CEOs don't have responsibility in terms of the way the football clubs run is hard to believe. And board, chairs, all of those people, I think that, you know, the coach isn't the only issue there. And it's proven again that the Tigers would come out and declare that Cameron Ciraldo is their number one choice if they miss him. And if they're talking Brett Camorley, I don't know how West Tigers fans would feel about that. I mean, does Brett Camorley make a player from a rival club, even just say a Papali'i or a Coruscant who have signed on for next year, are they going, oh, okay, Brett Camorley's going to be our coach. Is that what I want? I think that this is a... Their next move is a big move, and I'm not bagging Brett Camorley in any sense. I think he's a...
internal PR like with Camorley in the game as a coach?
Well, there's nothing there for us to really look at. Mm. With Ciraldo, we're going on a tremendous record as an assistant and some success at a lower level. With Noddy, he's been there or thereabouts in the game, but... You're not what of the other clubs. If every club was looking for a coach right now, how highly would Brett Camorley be on the picking level? I mean, there are other coaches out there right now. The Shane Flanagan's, he's got a better record. Paul Green, he's got a better record. Johnny Morris, he's got a better record. So I just don't understand why they're now saying Brett Camorley necessarily is a man for the job. He might be a fantastic coach down the track, but I think this is a huge job, and I think maybe Noddy would be a fantastic assistant at the club.
Mm.
But to make him the man responsible is a gamble, and I don't know whether the Tigers are in the position to really be sort of gambling at the moment. They need a little bit of certainty. They need a little bit of stability. They need to make a really good choice. And you would think there are some better qualified coaches out there, but if they see something in Brett Camorley, good luck to them. I don't know how their fans would feel about it, and I don't know how players at other clubs would feel about it, and I don't know how players are going to try and attract would feel about it.
Well, there's those red flags, isn't it, behind the scenes that would limit a lot of coaches, I reckon, going and taking that role as well. Very quickly, mate, Luke Thompson, dash home. Just quickly before we go, what happened there?
Yeah, guys, it's a family issue, and he took off, I think it was last Friday. He's due back on July 8th, and you know, obviously with the Bulldogs rising a little bit now, they'd probably need him back as soon as possible. But they've told him to take his time, and whether he gets back in early July, like they're hoping, we'll have to watch and see. But you know, obviously he's got family issues at the moment, and they're far more important and pressing than rugby league. So the Dogs are giving him the time he needs, and hopefully he'll be back in a space of time for them.
Absolutely. Well, Danny, we've got to let you go, but always great to talk all things rugby league. Plenty happening, and we'll chat to you again next week.
Thanks, gents.
Danny Widler joining us this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast from Channel 9. A big half hour still to come where you are part of the show. We want you to call us on the open line number 1353 53, SMS as well 0419 767 272. Prizes. We have a prize pack to give away for our best caller this morning. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. Matt Burke and Ryan Phelan with you. Stay with us. The Big Sports Breakfast, taking your calls this morning, 1353 53, the SMS as well, 0419 767 272. People asking on the text line, boys, where does the Mark Hughes trek start from? Well, it starts from Moore Park, and they're walking all the way to McDonald Jones Stadium. They're trying to raise, well, they're getting close to 150,000, aren't they, for the Mark Hughes Foundation?
It was, yeah.
They're talking about revising that total, so get behind it for support. It's the Beanies for Brain Cancer round this weekend, round 16, and funds will go to the Mark Hughes Foundation. Anyone that would like to buy a beanie, you can head to that website, themarkhughesfoundation.com.au. You can also go to your local IGA store. They sell them there, and you can go to the Big Three Trek as well to donate. So get behind that, a great cause this particular weekend. Looking forward to it. I was talking earlier as well about the State of Origin Wally Lewis medal. We were talking about that very early this morning, weren't we? And we're just watching a replay of Game 1, which is on Fox Sports at the moment. It's so interesting because the two men of the match, Nathan Cleary is the favourite at 225, Cameron Munster at 350, then James Tedesco at 750. Cleary, not so great in Game 1, great in Game 2. Munster, great in Game 1, okay in Game 2. James Tedesco, terrific in both Games 1 and 2, and he's $7.50. Kalyn Ponga, who was pretty good in both games as well, $17. So you'd sort of think also whoever gets the Wally Lewis medal surely will be the team that will win Game 3. It doesn't always happen that way, but you would think so.
Yeah, and you know, if you get the ball in your hand more than any other players in the team, you're certainly going to have more of an influence. And we were just noting, just in this game here, Cherry Evans, in that seven role from he to Cleary, is completely different. And then the question is, as we work on to Australian colours, national colours, who holds the number seven jersey in his mitts now? You probably have to say Cleary has gone ahead.
Yeah, I think Cleary.
Cherry Evans, obviously there. And then who puts in that six role now? You know, like, I mean, that's another question in itself. But you're talking about influencing games. You know, Cleary has been, outstanding that last game. I just like the way Tedesco plays. Mm. You know, he's just on the ball the whole time. He's taking the hard yards. He's doing the cleaning up of the back. He's getting himself involved in every play. And when you're involved in the game like he is, you know, people take note. It's like the commentator said the other day, it was like three or four Tedescos out there. Mm. And you just can't stop the bloke. It's quite incredible.
And, of course, New South Wales now favourites to take out Game 3, $1.65 over Queensland, $2.25. Taking your calls this morning, and we've got a Big Sports Breakfast prize pack to give away for our best call this morning. Let's go to that open line number. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, very
good.
Well.
I just wonder about Papua New Guinea. I speak about Papua New Guinea. The people over there in Papua New Guinea love the game of football.
Mm. Yep.
And my girlfriend's from Papua New Guinea, and she follows it too. And it seems to make everything happy in that country, you know, the way that And the football side never give up. They always come, very good players.
Yeah, absolutely. Fiji's the same. And, you know, they're always, you know, there at World Cup time with a team that's well put together with a number of NRL players as well. And it's unfortunate that Rep Round, as we know it, won't be in play next year because of the 17th team with the Dolphins coming in. But, you know, Rep Round definitely, Doug, you know, has been something to really enjoy over the past couple of years with that standalone game and seeing all of those Pacific nations in particular.
And they should be able to play England and Scotland and
yep.
Wales and all that sort of countries.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that relies on the schedule to be able to do that. But certainly, you know, Ryan, as you said then, the Pacifica nations that are involved in the NRL, it's fantastic to see. The more the better, which is only going to strengthen the national teams by giving these players the exposure to this top-level football. And you're right, Doug, I've been up there a couple of times to Papua New Guinea. I've spoken at a couple of lunches up there, and, mate, they love it. They love the footy up there. They love the physicality. And I know that certainly from a rugby point of view, we've been up there on touring. Great fun. They love the rugby league up there as well, and there's such a great following. So, Doug, great to see them play the other day, that's for sure, and have a crack.
Mm. Good on you, Doug. Thanks for the call. And just on the, you know, the Pacifica nations, you know, and where they sit, you know, with our own rugby, you know, championship. You know, obviously Australia has done their own thing in recent times. We love seeing the Pacifica nations here, you know.
Well, they need to be included because they're such a big part of whether it's rugby league, rugby union around the world, you know. So, you know, we find a lot of these, a lot of the Pacifica boys playing in Europe as well, certainly from a rugby ranks. And when they go back, and that's the big dilemma, you know, do they, I mean, you look at someone like the All Blacks, for example, you know, they incorporated a new war cry to involve the Pacifica boys as well. So, you know, those who represent Tonga, Fiji, and also Samoa. So you've got this situation where, sometimes they don't get to play for their own country because they're playing. They've pledged allegiance to New Zealand, but it is great to see. And I've played with many of the boys, and I'm glad to play with them rather than against them because they are the most ferocious tacklers in the world. And when you're on the end of one, they hurt. And so it's great to have them in competitive games and being competitive, whether it's rugby league, rugby union.
Just on the international rugby, while I've got you here, Berkey, obviously we've covered Australia and England this morning, but there's three other test matches being played of interest this weekend. New Zealand are taking on Ireland. South Africa are taking on Wales and Argentina, Scotland. New Zealand, Ireland, $1.20 New Zealand, $4.20 Ireland. Looking forward to that matchup.
That'll be good. You know, Ireland are a real smoky at the moment. They finished second in the Six Nations to France, who won this year. World Cup next year in France. France will be a threat in their own town. Ireland will be very good. Now, Ireland have had success over New Zealand in the past couple of years as well in the Northern Hemisphere. Three tests in 3 weeks in New Zealand. Difficult proposition. But this Ireland outfit, you know, you talk about the boys up front and how they muscle. They play in similar conditions as well. This will be a really good matchup. The numbers there that you just read out, I think they could be a little bit closer than what they are. New Zealand.
Well, Ireland have got 11.5 start.
Yeah, I'd take that. You know, their kicking game is good. They knock over their goals. They have the ability to score tries as well. I like Ireland as a team in the way they play as well. They're certainly revolutionising the way the ball in hand game is going. They can muscle up front if you need be. That's going to be a really good one. South Africa, Wales, obviously world champs. South Africa, Wales finished fifth in the Six Nations this year. They're having a bit of a tough time as well, trying to regroup. That'll be a win for them. And then Argentina, Scotland are so-so. Argentina, remember this is the Michael Checker coached Argentina as well. I think he's going to be coaching in the Rugby League World Cup as well. So he's wearing a couple of hats at the moment. That Argentina pack will be too big for them.
And what am I doing in the Australia-England game? I know we've spoken about the record with England. $1.52 Australia head-to-head, minus 4.5 start, $1.90.
Eddie Jones will have these blokes absolutely champing at the bit when they come. That they will be frothing, so to speak. And as you said, they've been over here for a while already. They've brought their guys in, the 12 players that played in the final only a couple of weeks ago. They'll be ready to go, and they'll give Australia a fair run for their money. I don't know if those numbers are quite right okay. at the moment. Look, hand on heart, I hope Australia wins. If you have to put your money on it, I think it's going to be closer than what it is.
All right. Taking your calls this morning, 13:53:53 on the Big Sports Breakfast. Good morning, Luke.
Yeah, good morning, Ryan. Good morning, Berkey.
How are you, mate?
How are you? What do you got for us?
Yeah, about the West Tigers and their coaching saga. Ages ago, Tim Sheens came out and basically said that they obviously got rid of Madge mid-season to allow a new coach to come in and either put the broom through the place and work out who's going to stay and who's going to go. Now, I had a mate that's a Tiger supporter, and he was a bit of a theory around the Serrato signing all but done, purely because of, number one, they signed that Tristan Riley from rugby.
Yep.
They decided to get rid of Tyrone Peachy and give him permission to look elsewhere. And then they also, the Brooks saga in terms of whether or not they were going to drop him. Now, he was perplexed that they haven't signed anyone, yet Tim Sheens, who's the director of Footy there, came out and said that literally, I want a new coach that can't make excuses about I didn't inherit this team. So there's obviously a lot happening at the club, yet they don't have a coach who was making those decisions.
And in the modern day, no player wants to sign on unless they know who the coach is.
The coach is.
So they're kind of in this stalemate at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. No, good points you raise, Luke. And, you know, they're mentioning Brett Camorley this morning. And, you know, you sort of think, well, would that be a draw card for a player to sign at West Tigers? They've got to ask all of these questions, don't they?
Well, the other part of it is, I mean, you've got to appease the members as well and the supporters. But at the same time, you need to make a strategic decision to get it obviously right. And I think they've missed the mark. The coaches are obviously coaching to the best of their ability. The players are playing to the best of their ability. There's just something not clicking there. Whether it's front office and back office, I don't quite know. We've always known there's been a bit of infighting around there and always dramas around the club and the board. The difficult of it is, and as you said, a coach coming in and it's not his team, he can always argue that I never had the tools or the resources to choose my team. So do they go with a young coach who means they may be at the bottom of the table for a long time? What is it now? It must be 8 years, is it 9 years since they haven't been in the eight? It's been a long time. And how do you keep going? How do you keep momentum going from a crowd point of view to turn up? I think the other difficulty of these guys as well is, yeah, you know, their home ground spread around, you know, three different sort of venues. So it's a tough scenario to get that real supporter base as well. Tough place to play and tough place to fix. It's going to take years, I think, as well.
Yeah, good call, Luke. We're going to give you the Big Sports Breakfast prize pack this morning. So that is coming your way. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, boys.
Luke joining us there this morning, and thanks for your part on the show and the open line number 13:53:53, and we'll fire it all up again tomorrow. Some texts coming through as well. What about this one? We were talking about the Wally Lewis medal. Newman says Billy Slater will probably win the Wally Lewis medal. Well, he's won it before in the past, I think, hasn't he, Billy Slater? Let me just check. Yeah, he won it in 2010 and 2018 as well. So, yeah, he might win it as coach. He's been very popular. And another one saying, this from Buck, just as it refreshes again on me. Morning, guys. I hate to say this, but the Queenslanders love the underdog tag. Wish they wouldn't put us as favourites for Game 3. Makes me a little bit nervous, but go the Blues. Yeah,
no.
It's, you know what, and we talk about it all the time with Queensland, don't we, that, you know, they do love being written off. I remember the speech from Daly Cherry Evans when he accepted the Shield. He said, thanks on behalf of the worst Queensland team ever.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that these rugby league players don't listen to the press and being written off and criticised and the like, because, you know, when they are up against it, they use that as motivation, particularly at this level.
That's the classic cliche. You're told not to read the media and read the paper. But if you're getting stung on the back page of the paper, you know it's there, and it does. It just chips away at you a little bit. So I can understand why they'll be using this in regards to the favoritism. It's interesting. We had Danny Wilder just on a second ago, and he said perhaps the scoreline was larger than expected.
Not a true reflection on the game.
Not a true reflection of the game, which is probably right as well. I think New South Wales were the better team in that second half, especially. First half was quite even, you know. And I actually thought Queensland were the better team. They seemed to be finding a little bit more space. New South Wales seemed to be playing a little bit like they're looking at the scoreboard type thing. But they got that role in the second half, albeit we had the controversy of the sin bidding. But certainly they played the better football in that game. Did that translate to the scoreline, as we're sort of saying? Perhaps not. But Queensland, in Queensland, as Billy Slater said afterwards, we go there, it doesn't mean we're going to win. So they need to pull out a performance themselves.
It's going to be really interesting with the coaches as well, because after game one, the knives were out for Freddie Fittler and everyone was saying, Billy Slater, what a natural he is in the coaching box, like a duck to water. Game two, Freddie Fittler wholesale changes. Oh, he's got it bang spot on. You know, New South Wales have done well. Not a lot of criticism around Billy Slater. You know, it was just outplayed and maybe there were some excuses. But game three, if New South Wales happens to win and so much focus again will be on the coaches, what do you think they'll make of Billy Slater?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, well, he'll get the rookie coach, bad luck, first time. But if you lose at home, absolutely the knives will come out. There'll be a how could you on our soil, which we know that's it's so well in our favour in fortress wise. I tell you what though, their demeanour is so different to say like a Craig Bellamy in the box. Both coaches seem to be quite mellow in the coach's box when the camera pans to them. It's like they're maybe internally they're absolutely going nuts, but visually they're quite controlled.
Yeah, if Billy Slater learned a lot of Craig Bellamy, emotions in a coaching box wasn't one of them. But yeah, look, the countdown is on to State of Origin 3 on July 13, and it's really, the build-up's going to be something else. What a great series it's been so far. A break, and we'll talk to Dave Stanley because Racing HQ is coming up shortly. What about this text, Berkey? Queensland will win game three. Guarantee that a New South Wales player will get sin binned at some point if there is market on it. Load up. That from Slavo Eagle. So we're already predicting there might be some Queensland bias perhaps from the referees in game three.
As we said yesterday, the role of a coach is to just throw a couple of barbs out there in the media and understand just what's going to make a noise. And obviously Freddie Fittler last week did that with the play the ball and the five controversial areas of the game that from game one, whether it was listened to by the referees. I mean, remember, the referees have to make their own decision. They just don't bow down to Freddie and say, okay, we'll referee it another way. So there has to be something in it that the other team are doing. Now, the penalty count, what was it, 8-5, I think in favour of Queensland, I think it was at the end. So you write your own destiny in the game. As apart from that, 50-odd tackles missed. They got stripped of the ball plenty of times. They were their own worst enemy the other day, no doubt about that. New South Wales played well. So, yeah, you write the script for Queensland, and could there be a sin binning from a New South Wales player?
Well, I was confident Queensland would win game one. I was confident New South Wales would win game two. I have no idea for game three.
Nothing?
I really think it's a line ball.
Why game one? Why were you confident Queensland game one?
I don't know. I just thought the team we had looked great on paper. I thought we were going to catch them by surprise. I thought we had a better team than New South Wales, and it panned out that way. But for game two, the side that New South Wales picked was the side they should have picked for game one.
Sure.
It's the right team. And I think they're going to have an even better side for game three. On paper, I would think New South Wales would win. But the fact that it's in Queensland, I've been to many, many Origins of the Cauldron, and I know it's just a different set of affairs up there. Dave Stanley would know all about that. Dave, how many games have you been at the Old Lang Park or Suncorp Stadium?
Oh, plenty, Ryan. I've been to plenty as a kid. And like I've said before, I'm a New South Wales supporter. I know that's weird, but grew up in a family that were from New South Wales, even though I was born in Queensland, and I love the Dragons. So I used to go to Lang Park as a kid wearing a Blues jersey, and wasn't that a baptism of fire? I learnt words and things that I didn't know even existed as a young
boy.
But
like it was dangerous to wear a Blues jersey or a away team's jersey at Lang Park back in the day.
It was, and you remember that all that old footage. You remember the cans being thrown on, and what that obviously never happened when I was there. But I was lucky enough to go to the Lang Park, the old Lang Park, and then of course it was redeveloped to what it is now. It's funny, boys. I've been in Queensland over the weekend, up seeing some family. Grandma hasn't been too well, so when it was in Bundaberg Friday, Saturday, everyone wearing Maroons jerseys, flags on cars, Queenslander, Queenslander. Sunday, same thing. Yesterday, though, departing, you wouldn't know the team existed.
Oh,
the flags are gone. The jerseys are gone.
Saying Queenslanders are
You know what? It was nice to know that maybe Queenslanders are just like New South Welshmen. they do the same thing. As soon as it's a bad game, jersey goes away and we wait for a couple of weeks. But, it was good. Good football, and bring on game three. That's going to be unbelievable. I think the BSB boys are going to be in
Brisbane
for that particular. So you won't miss a beat when it comes to finding out all the latest
and
with the
two proud New South Welshmen. Who represented their state as in Loz and Clarkie.
Well, I've got an idea. How do you reckon Pup would go if we threw him on the Queensland jumper and got him to walk down the Queen Street Mall?
Superb.
Or down Caxton Street.
Mate, it'd have to be a tight jersey.
I tell you, I reckon you would get is Laurie Daly. He's any way the wind blows. He says stick solid, but I don't know how solid Laurie Daly is sometimes.
You know what, though? I've been lucky enough to be with Laurie in Brisbane around Origin time. We've been to a few of them. It's weird. You'd think Laurie would be this hated person. He's not. Queensland fans would come up. They'll ask for photos. Laurie's a man of the people. I don't know whether Laurie... I'm sure he was quite parochial out in the field, as we know, but he's very clever with the fans. They all love him.
He's the Switzerland of rugby league.
He is. That's very, very well put, right? Hey, today on Racing HQ, boys, we've got a big show coming up. We're going to chat with Annabelle Neesham, who's got a horse in tomorrow on the Kenzo, which has actually already been really well supported. So I want to ask her about it. It's a two-year-old race on the Kenzo tomorrow, and it is race three, number one, what's going on. Comes out of that Kensington run behind where we had a good go for horses like Ramones. The winner of that race was Wingardium for the Wallace stable. So we'll chat with Annabelle. We'll chat this morning as well. We've got, I've just lost my computer here, guys. I'll get it back up. Here we go. Cameron Crockett. We've got Kristen Buchanan, Michael Friedman, John Thompson, all joining us on the program this morning, mate. So looking forward to Racing HQ on this Tuesday.
It's unmissable. Racing HQ, Dave, will be up after the news. Thanks for speaking to us. And Berkey, thank you for being part
good
of
your
Big
own.
Sports Breakfast for the past 2 days. It's been
great
having you with us.
Always good to dissect and talk, absolutely.
Yeah, and of course you'll be with the regular team talking rugby throughout the week and next. And Jamie will be back tomorrow, and Phil Moss will join me on the Big Sports Breakfast on Wednesday. We hope you enjoy your Tuesday. This has been the Big Sports Breakfast. Stay tuned for Racing HQ after the news.